Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a god of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Man!
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio Sco! That's right, Sco. If you're not from the Midwest, perhaps you are not familiar with the lingo. We are very busy in the Midwest. We don't have time to actually say, let's go. So we just make it one word. Sco. It's a time saver. And wow, we need more of that, don't we? Because who has time to actually talk to a human being? Now we just text and we abbreviate everything. HYD. Really, you couldn't spell out how you doing. My favorite might be K. Because using your thumb to hit the O as in okay. Oh, exhausting. I don't have time. We got to make it snappy. Sco to idea@wretched.org and send us stuff. And if you want to text, use your texter machine, 877-282-2337, and make sure you abbreviate as much as possible. Jimmy appreciates that.
I do. I really do. Mm-hmm. So ask me how I tell the kids it's time to eat dinner.
Skeet.
Seat.
Seat?
Seat. Let's eat. Seat.
Seat? That's even...
Well, that's...
I'm not
that's
sure what, which is worse, honestly.
That's what...
Oh, so skeet would be let's go eat.
Yeah, no, I say seat.
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 Are you that busy?
Yeah, I'm just that country.
There's a lot of those country words, yeah.
All right, this is from Harrison. Todd, why do you always say...
Okay, hold it. Always?
Always.
Do I always... That's a rule that I had to learn in marriage. You got to throw out the always.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I always leave that. Oh, always. So 24/7, I always leave. Don't always, because always never really works.
Why do you always say my never before nicotine stained fingers?
It's an homage to Rush Limbaugh, who apparently was a smoker. I never was. Thankfully, the Lord spared me of that. When I was a kid, I took one puff from a stolen cigarette from my grandmother, and it is like somebody stabbed me in the lungs. And I was like, I'm out. I know it looks cool, or at least I thought I did when I was a kid. It hurt too bad. So I never picked up the habit. So I know I don't have nicotine stained fingers. So when I say I hold in my never before nicotine stained fingers, always. it's just a reference to Rush Limbaugh, who used to say my formerly nicotine stained fingers. And it's just a hearkening to Rush Limbaugh. And as long as you're asking, even though you didn't, whenever I say Rexella, that's a shout out to Jack Van Impe, who used to quote Bible verses all the time and talk about his wife. Oh, Rexella. 877-282. Jimmy, you're a smoker.
Yeah, I was. I had that same experience. You know, the first time I ever smoked a cigarette, it like caved my chest in.
Why did you keep going?
Because I was not a quitter.
Good boy. Way to persevere.
Yes,
you are an overachiever. Do you know what we? You know what I'm actually chewing? Well, I'm not like at this second. I had my second piece of nicotine come today.
Well, are you working up to a smoking?
It was a prescription. No, Dr. Jason Lyle, who was in studio here a few weeks ago, when I told him about parasmia, which is one of the lingering maladies if you had a particular case of COVID, where your sniffer or your taste just either went away or stuff tasted or smelled rancid and awful. I just lost my taste and smell. I can put my nose into a rose. Nothing, but that's okay. I don't actually need an olfactory sense because I'm married to Mrs. Friel and she smells everything. So we're covered in that regard. Lost the taste. I mean, I can kind of taste stuff, but not like it once was. My daughter who actually works right across the hall from this studio, she got the rancid part. So did Rebecca down the hall, where they could eat, like, I think they were eating like a particular kid's cereal because it was about the only thing that didn't taste horrible. I was telling Dr. Jason Lyle about this, and he said, nicotine gum. What? Nicotine gum. It's known to re-kick whatever it is that got turned off. It flips the switch somehow on taste and smell. So I said, well, okay, how much of this should I chew? Very scientifically, he said, not a lot. Okay, thanks for that. So I didn't go to Costco because you just get a lot. In fact, I did look at the nicotine gum at Costco. It was like 800 tablets, but nevertheless, it was like 50-some dollars, something like that.
Gosh.
So we ordered it online, and I got 20 tablets of gum, and I took 10, and I gave 10 to my daughter, who, after chewing her first piece, sends me a text, please come to my office immediately. She was lying on the ground. The nicotine gave her the spins so bad she couldn't sit upright.
Yep.
She's lying on the ground, and it's like, okay, how many pieces did we have, dear? One. Apparently, that is a side effect of nicotine gum. It gives you the zoomies. Some people just vertigo.
I think it's a side effect of nicotine, period.
Period.
Because when I was smoking, even in the throes of it, the first cigarette I would smoke every morning would do that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's I don't know what it is, to be honest with you.
I just struggled to figure out the habit of smoking. I know people, it latches. I get it. But I don't know what it is. What was the, how long did you smoke?
Oh man, I smoked two different times. So I quit once for a few years and then picked it back up again.
Silly rabbit.
Yeah, I know. But probably a grand total of 12, 15
wow.
years. Yeah. Yeah.
Camel straight?
No. I mine had filters.
Yeah, menthol.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
You were a dude who smoked menthol and you didn't get beat up in Tennessee for that?
No, I didn't get beat up in Tennessee.
So why'd you finally quit?
Why did I finally quit?
Yeah.
Family, probably the biggest thing.
That's disappointing. That is not spiritual at all.
No, and you know what?
What about your temple, Jimmy?
That too.
What about black lunging your temple?
And that's you know, the thing that I realized the most after I quit is
how much money you've been wasting.
Well, that's a big one. Yes, for sure.
How stinky you were.
That is it. You don't smell yourself, and once you quit, you don't even smell other people that smoke. But once
you know what, I've got your solution. Nicotine gum. 877-282-2337.
All right, from Jess Todd. I'm a nursing student. We see a lot of videos of cadaver dissections to help us better understand the body. How do we view cadaver dissection from a biblical perspective?
Well, if you're talking about just watching somebody else do it, I think whether you do it, you happen to be an undertaker, if that's is that the correct term these days, or has that been kind of updated? A mortuarist.
Yeah.
It's a body recreation enhancement specialist. Treat it with honor. That's all. Just view it with honor. Treat it with honor. And recognize that is going to be a body that is going to get resurrected if they're a believer and last for eternity. Well, actually, even if they're an unbeliever, they're going to go get an eternal body. They ain't taking it to heaven. But nevertheless, treat it with honor. And as far as looking at the body, I think... I understand having to see the entire human body for scientific purposes and for medical purposes, but nevertheless, it should just all be done with great honor for the human body. We don't put the body above the spirit, but we don't degrade it, and we don't treat it shabbily just because it's dead. I'll get this. Don't you worry. Could I have a cigarette, please? I can't seem to spit this. The Gnostics, I believe, they so anti-body. They didn't even think Jesus had a body. That's how disparaging they were toward the body, because everything physical is evil automatically. That's just not the way that we Christians see it. We are dualistic. We're body and spirit. So view and treat with honor. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Minaj. Todd, is it ever okay to allow a Jehovah's Witness or Mormon into your house to evangelize them or even to greet them at your front door?
Bringing up kind of a painful subject.
Oh.
Was it a couple of weeks, whenever it was ago, had my first Jehovah's Witness show up at the door.
Ah.
And I couldn't talk to her because I was just getting on a Zoom call that had been scheduled forever, and I was just killing me to not be able to engage with her. It was very odd. She was up on our steps, and then there was another one down below who looked very anxious. And nevertheless, the reason for the question is 2 John 8:9-10. That neighborhood, maybe all three verses, that talk about don't do things that give an endorsement to a false teacher. And back in the day when 1 John was written, it would be to practice hospitality. If you brought a false teacher into your home, it was akin to saying, yep, I'm all for this dude's theology. Don't do that. So you have to consider cultural context. Will your neighbor see you inviting a Jehovah's Witness in and conclude, oh, I guess you're okay with that? I think it's debatable. So I guess it would be a matter of conviction and how you feel about that. Probably better, let them stand on the stoop. Maybe come visit another day when you can let them in. But whatever you think the rule is, just don't give the impression that you are in favor of Jehovah's Witnesses. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum available right now for free at FortisPlus.org. That's FortisPlus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. FortisInstitute.org/truth.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes, I have spoken to a Jehovah's Witness, but they've never come to my door before. I usually go after them. This is like... You're slow coming down. To me. This is so easy. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you'll send stuff that is wretched to idea@wretched.org or feel free to text at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text.
Never had Mormons come to the door either.
Oh, you haven't?
No. When I see them on campus, man, I am like a laser. I'm just, because I know you'll talk about it, but they get really guarded. They've been trained to deal with us, and the training basically is shut them down, get away from them. Mm-hmm. Just don't engage with them. Go find greener fields elsewhere, because they don't want them to engage, because they don't want them to hear the truth. The reality is Jehovah's Witnesses, nice people, I'm sure. Same thing with Mormons. They act nice. A lot of them are totally miserable though, because they have to act nice if they want to be reunited with their family in heaven, because both of those systems are work righteous systems, and they are very, very cultic in nature. I saw that with the two women who showed up at my door. Because I only had seconds and I knew it, all I did was say, have you read John 1:1 in a different translation? Boom, they were just like a shot. They were out of there. I was like, wow, I thought the Roadrunner was fast there. Because they're trained, get out of there. That is cult-like behavior.
Yeah. I would say the Mormons are probably the ones that lean more nicer than Jehovah. Because I have seen Jehovah's Witnesses angry.
They really aren't there to, when you walk by them, say at the train station or they're hanging out at the airport, they don't really want or care if you approach them. Because that's not why they're not there to win converts. They're there to earn heaven.
Yeah.
They have to do. It's like you have to go there, stand there. So put on your tie and your dress and go stand there. What are we supposed to do? Nothing. Just stand next to the brochures and that'll get you to heaven. So they're not happy. It's a joyless system, and they aren't there because they genuinely want to win converts. And I'm sorry, I'm going to use the opportunity of what I just said to say something that I like repeating. And that is, remember what you are doing when you share your faith. You're not earning your way to heaven. You're sharing it because your way to heaven has been earned and you have been brought into the banquet. You have been brought into a feast. You have been adopted into the family of God. That's why we go to the highways and the byways. This could change the way you evangelize. Be persuaded in your own mind. This, if I open up my mouth and talk to this person I'm seated next to on an airplane, oh, it could become very contentious. Doesn't have to at all. If you're excited about it, hey, I'm curious, do you have any sort of spiritual background, religious background? Do you go to church, anything? Could I tell you about something amazing? That's just so different. And if they shut you down, they shut you down. But we should be engaging enthusiastically. This is not like we're going to the streets to club people. We're going to the streets to proclaim, this is amazing. You have no idea what God has done for you. You have no idea what God is preparing for you. Let me tell you about the banquet. That's why we should be going. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, not so much. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Gabrielle. Todd, if the Bible is all sufficient, and never returns void, shouldn't it be a waste of time to read anything else?
That's a really good question. Is it a waste of time? No, but what should be our primary source? If the Bible is the best, why would you lean more heavily on secondary? There is value, there is benefit in reading the thoughts of other theologians who have come before you. That's just wisdom, to receive wisdom from other people, especially if they are sound in the faith and they rightly divide the word.
you just take as much as you can from them, but make sure you remember the Bible's better. The Bible is better than any other book ever written. So all I would say is just watch your balance and make sure that your diet leans more heavily toward Bible than reading about the Bible, because it is the better book. But you shouldn't feel bad about reading other stuff, because there's plenty of great stuff about the Bible, but it's not the Bible. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, is preaching a wrathless gospel false teaching? If a church is teaching that you must repent for your sin and put your trust in Jesus, but never mentions the wrath of God on the unrighteous or explains exactly what sin is, would that be false teaching?
I don't know that I would be willing to put it into the category of false teaching necessary. I would say it's deficient teaching. It is not explaining the entirety of the gospel so that it can make sense to the hearer. We have to give full instructions. Otherwise, we're just not doing a good job of presenting the gospel. Leaving out components is a dreadful mistake. But what I call it false teaching, if it's not being done intentionally, if they're leaving something out because they don't like that, that's a problem. But when people fail to include certain components of the gospel, I think that is one of the biggest maladies in the evangelical community today. We leave out too many details. We assume people get it. And we assume that they understand that sin has a wage, death. Why? Because God is holy. We have to explain the character and the nature of God. Otherwise, just saying sin, it's like, whatever. You said everybody's a sinner, so what's the big deal? And without explaining who God is, sin is not exceedingly sinful. We need to explain the cross, what was happening there, so that the understanding isn't, well, that was kind of interesting that he died. No, it's earth-shattering that God would die for a sinner like you and me. He was receiving the wrath of God on the cross. Leaving those details out, it's just deficient. And I also think that it has been the source of so many false conversions. And I know this to be true. People don't know the gospel because I ask them all the time. That's probably my favorite lead question. Hey, do you know what the gospel is? You know, I've never heard anybody respond. I mean, seriously, I will do that pretty much out of the blue. So I got this straight. You want a chicken sandwich, and you want the potato salad. Yeah. Hey, I got a question. Do you know what the gospel is? I've never had anybody go, I'm going to spit in your food, pal. Who do you think you are? Get away from me, you finette. Never. They just engage. It's one of my favorite questions, and the answer is almost always wrong. Or they're completely mystified by the question. We have not done a great job of getting the key message, the very foundation of our Christian faith correct. And that is the gospel. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Jay. Todd, this trend of wives initiating more divorces has been the case all our lives. Further, I found that if a wife goes to therapy alone, she is extremely likely to be the one to initiate the divorce.
Yeah.
There's no question. That was just the statement.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very fair observation. Women initiating divorces, it's not new. But I would add this, Jay. We're seeing the number of divorces that are initiated by women increasing. So it's yes, that trend has always been there. It's getting trendier. And you're right about a woman going to a counselor alone. Now, I want to be careful here, because a woman can go to counseling alone, even about marriage issues. But there are two considerations that are important for the biblical counselor. Number one is, at some point, you must engage the other party. Why? Because you're only hearing one side of the story. Second of all, if you're a biblical counselor, you got to be careful. If you're just dealing with one person, almost, if you're not a sound biblical counselor, you're almost always going to take the person's side. And then the problem resides at home. And that's a problem. So let's not make a rule that you can't counsel a spouse individually, but be mindful that you don't then having left the other spouse out, because here's the reality. We all shade things our way. We just do. And it can even be in instances where it's not intended to be malicious or secretive. We just do because we favor ourselves so much. And the wise biblical counselor at some point, probably sooner than later, is going to say, let's do this together. Let's bring this together so that we hear both sides of the story. So, Jay, I agree with you with that. There is a caution, but it's not to suggest, especially if you're an individual, you're a spouse, male or female, and you need help, go get it. Don't let that deter you. But even in that situation, the biblical counselor, in an effort to help you, is going to try to bring the other party in to help both together. This is Wretched Radio.